welcome to Radio Free HPC. This is where we talk about supercomputing, high-performance computing, and other technology topics. I'm your Toastmaster, Rich Bruckner from Inside HPC, with my co-hosts, Dan Olds from Gabriel Consulting, and Henry Newman from Instrumental. Now let's get to the show.
Hooray! All right, we're back. Radio Free HPC with Dan and Henry. Welcome, guys. How's it going out there?
Hey.
Very good, Rich.
Fantastic.
There's a lot of news going on the last couple weeks.
There is. And being focused on supercomputing, we have to talk about Top 500. And the big news leading up to that was this new Chinese supercomputer. They're calling it Tianhe 2. The folks from Intel are calling it Milky Way. So if you hear those two, they are interchangeable. But this machine is massive in scale. Apparently has scored over 30 petaflops on Linpack and will certainly, if that's correct, be crowned as the number one system in the world.
Pretty much doubling up Titan, right?
And it might hold all the way to supercomputing.
I don't think anyone was expecting a system of this scale at this time or even for the next year or so. It's built on Xeon and Intel Xeon Phi. Some pretty impressive specs. But I wanted to kind of go around the table here. First, you, Henry, what was your initial impression when you read the news?
Don't care. And I'll talk about later the reason I don't care. Because something else important happened that week.
Going to me, I think it's interesting, and it was unanticipated. If I remember right, it was ISC last year where I talked to some people from NUDT, and they were talking about a 100 petaflop system for 2015. There wasn't any talk of this interim system. Also interesting that they're going with Phi at this time as opposed to the GPUs. And
right,
what are we looking
right.
at? What are we looking at this thing? 32,000 Xeons?
But Dan, it's probably clear the reason. They got Ivy Bridge processors. They got them early.
Yeah.
It's kind of
a package
those
deal
are your choices.
Is what we're implying. Okay.
So early access to the fastest, the first batch of
BOGO.
Xeon's latest stuff. From what I understand, China wanted to be number one in the top 500 at this particular juncture. They wanted a system that would win in June of 2013, and they asked Intel what they could propose to make that happen, and this is the result.
Are we expecting this to actually hit the chart in June? It looks like it will, right, from what we're hearing?
Yeah, I mean, the preliminary reports, Jack Dongara went there and a number of other people. From what I can tell, that these results are being verified. And, I think we'll see it hit the chart.
And what are we looking at? 32,000 Xeons, 48,000 Phis, and peak performance of 54.9, and we're figuring something around 30 sustained, which double up Titan, right?
Yeah, approximately double what Titan is, which is the fastest machine in the U.S. today.
In the world today.
In the world, yes.
Or no, Sequoia is.
No, Sequoia is a hair under that.
Is that number two?
I think it's at 12 point something.
Okay.
Huge machines.
Yes.
And strangely, I think, Henry, you mentioned this in our preview talk. If you look at those large-scale machines and how they're balanced for I/O, this one doesn't seem to have those same kind of balance points in terms of storage. And
12 terabytes of storage on a petabytes of storage and a single petabyte of memory. So let's see, you can do 12 checkpoints, maybe 11 and a half.
Yeah.
Well, on a system that size, can you get that many checkpoints, you think?
Yeah. I was being facetious, Dan.
I would think
less than that.
Maybe one, if that.
One.
I mean, certainly a machine of this scale needs to do a lot of I/O to be efficient on a lot of codes.
And effective.
And it's using some kind of something based on InfiniBand, from what I understand, as the interconnect. They're calling it TH Express 2. Which is probably just another generation based on Tianhe 1A, the machine that took the top 500 over about 2.5 years ago.
So what's this interconnect? What's the technology behind the interconnect? Do we know?
At least for 1A, it was based on InfiniBand.
You would assume it's going to be based on InfiniBand, but they have their own libraries.
Yeah,
they didn't use Intel. They all have their own interconnect. I assume it has the routing topology and everything in the libraries. But, you know, we're never going to find out. And more importantly, does Limbeck really care about interconnect?
Not so much.
Not so much. Does it care about I.O.?
Not so much.
Not so much. And that was the point why I said it's a who cares. So as we talked about ahead of time, there was another announcement the same week. I think, Dan, you and Rich read it. I sent you the email, what I found. I thought it was really interesting that we actually did real science with the supercomputer at Blue Waters, which isn't on the top 500 for the reasons that Bill Kramer discussed.
And that we discussed in earlier, we discussed that in an earlier episode as well.
Submit a number. But it reached a very significant milestone. Dr. Thomas Schultes and a couple other folks, I think. I'm going to get that name wrong, Dan, so please edit.
Schulten, I believe.
Schulten, yeah. Yeah. So anyway, the researchers used the Blue Waters supercomputer. They've simulated the HIV virus, and this could lead to treatments for that disease, which affects millions of people across the planet. A huge milestone.
And the techniques that were used, I think that's also critically important. As we all have heard in the last few months, there's a new SARS virus that's extremely deadly. So the modeling techniques that this team, it was an integrated team, learned using Blue Waters will allow them to model other viruses. And I think for the sake of humanity, that's going to be pretty critical, because the next pandemic, you know, who knows when it's coming. But
the other thing here, too, that's interesting is that this is perhaps the very biggest structure ever modeled, ever simulated at 64 million atoms. So they actually had to use the scale of this system as well. This is truly, at least from the article, looks like one of these problems that you couldn't have solved without a massively scaling supercomputer.
Correct. And the other thing, we'll put two links up. One to, it was in a medical journal that I saw, and one that NSF did with the whole team, and discussed what they did and why they did it and how they did it. And that the fact is and that's what Blue Waters was about for the country, is to do basic research and basic science. And this pushed the forefront in multiple directions. And it's, in my opinion, as someone involved in the supercomputer business, this is why we have supercomputers, top 500.
Yeah, and in fact, you know, these two stories came out about the same time.
Yeah.
The HIV story from Blue Waters and this Chinese supercomputer. And I was kind of dismayed to see all the attention and the buzz was around this machine that looks to be designed expressly for LINPACK versus real science, which is what the Blue Waters was designed for.
Well, it's not to say that Tiani 2 isn't going to do real science. It's just
Certainly.
That it's not going to do real science. It most likely will not do real science at the scale that it was built. Tiani 1 was assembled once in its largest form to run LINPACK, but then it was parceled out to a lot of different constituencies that ran everything from soup to nuts on it. And I would wonder if Tiani 2 is going to be the same kind of system.
Well, it's very possible. I mean, they did run some problems at scale. We should note that. I mean, I do have some case studies about science done on the big Tiani 1A system.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, you know, using the Xeon, getting the codes running won't be as difficult a proposition. But time will tell.
Well, they're pretty good when it comes to optimizing for any sort of coprocessor, GPUs.
Yes.
And I imagine that those skills are at least going to translate to PHY to some extent.
Well, but they part of it is I'm sure they're using the Intel code generator and compiler. There's no way they're going to build their own compiler in this short a time.
Yeah, you're probably right.
For that system and thread scheduler and all that stuff. No, I'm thinking they're having to do their own stuff.
Yeah, it's an all Intel solution.
Correct.
Well, how long do we think this is going to remain on top of the list?
My bet is past supercomputing 13, till next year.
So June of 2014,
at least,
I guess. Yeah.
Yep.
You know, there's always possible surprises out there. But,
well, the K computer took out Tiani 1 as a big surprise, remember?
Yes, that was, especially when it happened.
Yep.
No one was expecting it that quickly. And but I don't expect it to be dethroned in November in Denver at SC13. I think it'll still be number one. So, you know, a significant, this is one of the largest deployments of Xeon, period, on the planet, not just looking at the Phi. So this is a big monster of a machine.
Well, we'll watch it and see what happens.
So I guess as we wrap up this story, guys, I think we're going to have the inevitable stories coming out. Is the U.S. falling behind in science and in, you know, computer technology? And I think the water story says, yes, we are firmly rooted with great technology, and we're doing significant science on those machines. So don't let this one machine fool you. You know, longer trends may be different, but there is some great stuff going on right here on U.S. soil.
Are you saying then that the entire Western world isn't doomed?
I won't go that far.
Oh, okay. But at least from the supercomputing standpoint, not right now.
Yeah.
Good enough. That's good enough for me. That'll get me through the next year.
All righty. That's it for this edition of Radio Free HPC. Thank you for listening, and be sure to check back often for new episodes. Also, check out our website for more content, links, and a place for you to let us know what you think about the show. We're at RadioFreeHPC.com. Thanks again. We'll be back with another exciting episode real soon.